Good morning, church family. It's good to see everybody here today. I've got several announcements. I'll try to get through these as quickly as possible. But first of all, just thank you so much for being here today as we have this chance to be together as a family. If you are a guest with us today, we're always grateful for your presence here with us. If you could take a few moments, if you are a guest or maybe you're just kind of new to Graham Street, to scan this QR code. It'll take you online so that you can fill out one of our connecting forms. That way we have a little bit of information and we can know if there's anything we can do to help you out in ways that we can reach out to you. But thank you for joining us this morning and being part of our family. There's also one of those QR codes within the bulletin, so hopefully you grabbed one of those on your way in this morning if you need to scan that a little bit later in services today. As always, we want to get connected and stay connected here at Graham Street, so there's several ways online to be doing that. GrahamStreetChurch.com is our main church website. For our youth happenings, you can go to GrahamStreetYouth.org. For our campus ministry activities, you can go to TexansForChrist.org. And then we've got our Facebook page as well for the Graham Street Church. Great ways that we have for you guys to see different things that are going on and to stay connected into the activities that we have going on here at Graham Street. As always, we'll have Children's Church this morning. We'll dismiss just before the lesson this morning, and that'll be for ages 3, 4, and 5. And we'll have the children's offering. I want to make sure our kiddos get to hear this. You don't just have to be a 3, 4, or 5-year-old to come up and make an offering with the children's offering. That's something that any of our kiddos or adults, if you would rather come up and drop it in the silly little bucket, you are more than welcome to walk up then and make your offering then as well. So ages 3, 4, and 5 will dismiss for children's church right after the children's offering. And then as always, we have the nursery available out the foyer, first door on the right as you start to go down the hallway, if you need to make use of that for those that are under the age of 3. All right, we are almost there. We put a goal of $20,000 to raise for the Shona Bible, so you can see we are less than $50 away, so let's just finish that off this morning if we can. It would be a great thing if we could. If you're willing to make a special offering and donation towards that, just make the memo in your check for the Shona Bibles, but it's a great thing that you guys have really stepped up on to help us reach that goal that we had of $20,000. All right, I've got several other things I want to run through. One, thank you to all of those that came out and participated with the city's Safe Trick or Treat and our Graham Street Fall Festival on Thursday. It was a little bit windy, but after some adaptation of about 80% of the games that we were going to do, we figured out some other things to do outside and ways to brave the wind. But it was a great success. We know for sure we handed out at least 900 glow sticks to kids, and so that's not going to count parents and other family members that came through. So probably upwards of at least 1,000 kids that came through, and we got to at least bless and be a part of with that, along with some face painting and some games and picture taking. It was a really fun time, and I'm very grateful to the many volunteers that we had that showed up and spent some time to help us get things ready or to actually man the booths there. So thank you for reaching out and being part of our community on Thursday with that. Also, on that night, with our casseroles, I wanted to make a mention of this. I think we hit our record. It was 181 casseroles that we gave out on Thursday. So yeah, that was a huge blessing. It was a great way we had to reach out to the community. It was even fun because we got to shock some people that we had casseroles that we were handing out over here at our treat station as well. So a neat thing we got to do. We love that you guys really stepped up on this one when we knew we would need some extra casseroles that night. In your bulletins, you will see under the youth section there that next Sunday we will have what is known as Cross Connect. This is an area-wide youth devotional. We have several different churches from around the area that have been invited in. So our youth will be having an opportunity to have some time focused on them. But everyone here is welcome and invited to come and be a part of that. So next Sunday, starting at 4:15, we'll be right here in the auditorium. We'll have some activities going on, followed by a devotional. Then we'll head across the street about 5:45 for supper. And that's also going to be a day that we have a chance to sort of do some service work for our congregation. Basic Needs will be getting ready for their garage sale. So while we have a lot of young, abled bodies, we're going to move some boxes around. And with the number that we should have, it'll go very quickly. So lots of fun things that we'll get to do. But everybody is invited and welcome to come and be a part of Cross Connect next Sunday, starting at 4:15 right here in the auditorium. All right, I think there's some congratulations that are owed to our Yellow Jackets football team on sealing the district championship. So congratulations to our boys and coaches on that. David's been kind of giving updates from week to week on everything with that, but I figured I'd steal the thunder here for just a second on that and get to do that. So congratulations to you guys. We're really proud of you, and we know there's great things still ahead for this season with you guys. Going along with that, this Wednesday we have an awesome opportunity as a church to support the Stephenville Independent School District, if you want to, as we get the chance on Wednesday to be a part of Burn the Wood. So if you look there on the front part of your bulletins, you'll see that Wednesday we have some special activities that are going to be going on. Yes, I know it is supposed to be cold and rainy, but there will be a fire apparently to warm yourself by a little bit later. So the plan is, right now, we'll let you know if anything changes as we get closer, but on Wednesday we will meet at the park. We will let you guys know as we get closer exactly where we're going to be, but we'll have pizza at the park at 6 o'clock, and then at 6:30 we'll do a short devotional, and we'll have everybody dismissed and out at 6:45 to head over to start being part of the activities. It'll start at 7, and the bonfire should start around 7:30, but we'd love for everybody to come out on Wednesday night to the park as we get a chance to support our Yellow Jackets as they get ready to have this fun weekend ahead of them in this next game coming up against Brownwood. This morning, as we get started, you're going to hear some words that, if you listen to that last song that played, it's word for word again, that comes from Hebrews chapter 1. And this is where we're going to be today as we focus on God's word. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful to be in your presence. Father, we are blessed to be chosen by you. Father, this morning as we have opportunity to be together as a family, united as one, Father, we know that it's because of a sacrifice that you were willing to make. Father, to give up your Son for us. Your Son, who was willing to give himself up for us. Father, not because we deserved it, but because you wanted us. That you've always wanted us, and Father, you've said you would do anything to have us, and we are so grateful for that. Father, today as we have a chance to sing and worship together, may we do so knowing and remembering that sacrifice that you made on our behalf. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here now, for this time, for these moments, for the things that we get to share in together. Father, open up our hearts and our minds and our mouths so that we can praise you together. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host, redeemed by blood. They hymn their king in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffer sore or faint for truth or Jesus' lovely name, shout victory now and hail the Lamb, and bow before the great I Am, and bow before the great I Am. While everlasting ages roll, eternal love shall feast their soul, and scenes are blessed forever new, rise in succession to their view, rise in succession to their view. have you, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high, Almighty King, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of hosts on high adore. Description too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Well, who can grasp your infinite wisdom, and who can fathom the depth of your love? 'Cause you are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. Nothing ever seen or heard. Well, who can grasp your infinite wisdom, and who can fathom the depth of your love? 'Cause you are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Well, holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Be seated, please. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let heaven and heavenly sing. the power and might of his great name. Let us exalt on bended knee. Praise God the Holy Trinity. Praise God, praise God, praise God who saved my soul. Praise God, praise God, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise to the King, his throne transcends, his crown and kingdom never end, now and throughout eternity. How praise the one who died for me. Praise God, praise God, praise God who saved my soul. Praise God, praise God, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, praise God, praise God who saved my soul. Praise God, praise God, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise God the Son,
Father God, we thank you. We thank you that you call us to be yours. And Father God, as we look at the words you give us, may we see the wisdom in those words. And may we see the challenge in those words as well, God. For while you call us to be your children, you also call us to gather more around us, to know you, to love you, and into relationship with you. Father God, may we take up that challenge. And as we read your words and we strive to live by them, may we stand in awe of you each and every day. May we look to that glorious summit that we just sung about, God. Because one day, you're going to call us all home. And we're going to stand around your throne. And we're going to sing how awesome you are. As one body of believers who has not only studied and read the word you've given us, God, but Father, we'll gather around your throne because we've lived it as well. And your grace and your mercy and the blood of your Son has provided us that opportunity. Thank you for that. And this morning, as we gather around the table and as we think about the celebration of life of Jesus, help us share with each other that love, that mercy, and that grace. And it's through your Son we pray. Amen. gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. And for through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. The bread, the Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. Come take the
Will you pray with me? God and Father, there's so many things that as human beings we don't understand. And it's hard to understand the love that you have for us enough that you sent your Son to die for us, hung on a cross for us, went through pain, went through suffering. But God, the good thing about it is we don't have to understand it because you did it for us and you loved us so much, you did it for us. And God, we thank you for it. There's nothing that we can do on this earth or with our time on this earth that earns our salvation, but because of your grace and because of your mercy, you give us the opportunity to live with you if we follow your word and act as examples as we should. Dear God, just thank you for loving us. We love you. In Christ's name, amen. God, as we continue and we take ourselves back to the cross and the blood that you shed for us, Once again, we just we bow at your feet at how awesome and how powerful that you are. Dear God, we just ask for your continual forgiveness. And once again, just thank you for loving us so much. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, as our 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds get ready to head to Children's Church, remember, parents, if you could, make sure you actually take them there so that they can get signed in. That way we do have a parent that we know that's on hand in case there's any kind of emergency, if we need to contact you during Children's Church. Don't forget, too, as the song plays here during the children's offering, you don't have to be just 3, 4, or 5.
Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice.
Clap your hands, all ye people, shout to God.
Woo!
With the voice of triumph, clap your hands, all ye people, sing for joy unto the Lord.
And we're singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Christ is the Lord of all the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all the earth. Clap your hands, all ye people, shout to God.
Woo!
With the voice of triumph, clap your hands, all ye people, sing for joy unto the Lord.
And we're singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all the earth.
Amen. Let's be standing as we sing the song before the sermon.
He leadeth me, who blesseth all worlds with heavenly comfort from. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God and that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful Father I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful Father and when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me, his faithful Father, I would be, for by his hand he leadeth
me. Good morning, church. Now, I will make a comment on the game, okay? We really needed this one. This one prepared us for the future. Great job, coaches. Great job, team. You know. You gotta play till the end, and that was great. So proud of you. That's awesome. Let me say also, thank you so much, Joey, for leading our singing. We thank you for driving over from Abilene. He's been doing this once a month for us for a few months now, and I appreciate the help that you've given us in our song service. And thank you for the way you were singing today. Great job. Appreciate that. Okay. Now, don't let this scare you on the slides here. 10 principles. That's a lot to cover in, what do I have, an hour? So that's a joke, okay? Somebody sent me this picture this week, a cartoon of a police officer pulling a preacher over on the side of the road and giving him a ticket for preaching 45 minutes in a 20-minute zone. Why would anybody send me a picture like that? But I do know the math, you know. If we're going to do 10 principles in 30 minutes, it's going to take three minutes for each one. I'm not going to even try that. I don't have the energy. What we're going to do is we're primarily dealing with hermeneutics. That's a fancy word for two things. One is interpreting the Word of God, and secondly, applying the Word of God. The next lesson we're going to get to is dealing with applying the Word of God. Today, the first 7 principles can apply to both. It applies to both parts of that. I'm going to apply it to interpreting Scripture right now, but it'll come back time and time again when we talk about applying the Word of God. The last 3 principles, we'll slow down a little bit and we'll spend more time on it because it deals with some of the science of interpreting Scripture. So that's what we're going to do. And if I run out of time this morning on the 7, we'll go home and we'll try it again, okay? All right. So don't worry if you can't read all this, but this is all 10 of them. So you can say, regardless of how fast I go through it, you can't say I didn't show it to you, okay? So it's there. Whether you can read it or not, I showed it to you, right? Okay, let's start with 1. When interpreting the Word of God, one thing that you need to ask about is, does it fit the character of God? If the Bible is God's Word, then He will be consistent in speaking words into the written Word that define His character. He will not contradict Himself. Psalms 119 speaks of the Word of God, and it speaks of the written Word of God in the same terms. The Word of God, the written Word, and the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and the character of God are all using the same terms. So Scripture is the Word of God, and God is a witness. Using the Bible is a witness to His revelation to us. And everything that He says will fit with the character of God. If we don't see it consistent with the character of God, then we need to have a clue that we're misinterpreting the Word of God. God's revelation, as we said so many times already this morning, at times past, He revealed His Word to us through the prophets in various ways, in visions, in written Word, in symbolism, and so forth. But in these last days, He has appointed His Son to be His revelation, to show His exact representation, a reflection of God's glory in a way that we can understand it in human language. And that's what the Bible gives us a testimony about how God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. And we can understand the character and nature of God by seeing it in Jesus. One of the primary reasons why we need to interpret the Word of God correctly is so that we'll correctly understand God's nature, and the best way to see it is in Jesus. John chapter 1, verses 14 and 18. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. It is God's only Son who is close to the Father's heart. He has made him known. So that's what we're going for. The better we know the Word, the better we'll know the Word Jesus Christ, and the better we'll know God. And when we understand God, we'll better understand how we need to interpret the Word of God. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. The better we know the character of God, the better we'll interpret the Word of God. And the better we understand Jesus, the better we'll understand God. Number two, it connects to the whole. All of it is important. In a few moments, I'm going to talk about classifying Scripture, and there are some more important than others, but none of it is unimportant. None of it is insignificant, and it's all connected together, even though it's different in different places in the type of literature that it is in the Bible. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, this is Jesus speaking, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. If Jesus came to fulfill what was written in the Old Testament, then it connects it all together in one continuous story, one continuous flow. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught by the Scriptures, it'll be encouragement to us, so that it might provide hope. We have this continuous story, God's story, that's in the Bible. And it's important for us to see that whole story as we interpret Scripture. We need to understand how what we're trying to interpret fits in the story, God's story for us. Number three, Christ is within that whole. John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. He says, you study the Scriptures, talking to the Jewish leaders. He says, you study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Jesus is saying, now remember, when he's saying this, they don't have the New Testament. They don't have the Gospels. They don't have even the story of him dying on the cross for their sins and being raised from the dead and ascending back to the Father. They don't have that. But Jesus is saying to them, even with your Old Testament Scriptures, if you diligently search them, you will find me there. And yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Number four, we need to remember to count what is most important. Now, you may say, that's kind of funny wording, David, but you know, they all had to begin with a C, so I had to come up with something. But you'll see where I got the count, okay? Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. What is it that counts the most? Well, Jesus one time had a guy come up to him, a teacher of the law, and said, teacher, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So what counts the most? If you're going to take all the commandments in God's word and you're going to try to figure out what counts the most, what is definitely wrong if you don't get this right? Love. And that's one of the things we need to remember as we interpret Scripture. Nothing that we interpret in Scripture should contradict love. If we contradict love in our interpretation of Scripture, we have misinterpreted Scripture. In our applying Scripture, if we don't apply Scripture in love, we're misapplying Scripture, because this is the greatest of all the commandments. It's what counts above everything else. And Jesus told his apostles that they'll know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. This is so important, and we need to get it right. After all, what was the golden rule? And we would all say, this is the rule that should guide our lives. You know, this is what we all need to do. Now, regardless of what our religious background, if everyone would live by this standard, our world would be such a better place. If we would treat people the way we would like to be treated. Well, where does that come from? It comes from the principle of love. And this is so important that regardless of what you think the Scripture interprets to mean, if it contradicts love, it's a misinterpretation. Number five, we need to classify Scripture. We need to understand that not all Scripture is the same. We need to understand that Jesus himself said not all Scripture is the same. In Matthew chapter 23, he gave this scathing sermon to the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. He said, "You scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites." And he just kept saying this over and over again. And then he would tell them why he called them hypocrites. He said, "Woe to you teachers, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness." Now look at what Jesus said. He did not say that you should not give a tenth. That's part of their Jewish law. That's part of what the Old Testament teaches them to do. Jesus never said, don't keep the Old Testament law. He said, this is important, but you've neglected things that are more important, like justice, mercy, and faithfulness. We need to understand that not all Scripture is the same. Not all of it carries the same weight. There's a lot of different things that we find in Scripture. He goes on to say, you should practice the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. I love this illustration. And I think it shows that Jesus has a sense of humor, even when he's speaking very sternly with some people. Can you picture this? It's similar to what Jesus said when he told them about judging each other. And he said, look, you know, You look at the speck in somebody's eye and you're trying to get it out while you got this beam sticking out of your eye. How ridiculous is that? Don't judge. With the measure you judge, you'll be judged unto you. In this passage, he says, you're straining like crazy to get that little gnat that's fallen in. And yet, you're swallowing a camel. You're neglecting what's most important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth that had so many problems, so much confusion about what God really intended for them to do as a church, and apparently there are some Christians there who doubt whether there is really a resurrection from the dead. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, he says, what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Notice what he says, of first importance. The most important thing I told you was that Jesus died for your sins and he raised from the dead. That's so important. So the Bible is filled with all kinds of different books and letters. There's law, there's history, there's poetry, there's personal testimony, there's narrative, and so forth. All of these are important, and I'm not trying to say that any part of it is unimportant, but it's important that we classify the literature that we're looking at. You don't look at the Psalms in the same way as you look at Matthew's gospel. You don't look at the book of Job in the same way that you look at the letter to the Romans. And it's important to understand what kind of literature that we're dealing with. Hubert has been doing a great job in teaching Revelation in the auditorium on Sunday morning. And I recommend the class to you if you haven't been coming. Come at 9 o'clock, and Hubert's doing a great job on that. But one of the things that Hubert has to emphasize in teaching that book is it's not like other books. But there are some books in the Old Testament that are similar and uses some of the same symbolic language and so forth. And if we go and study them and connect them to Revelation, then it'll help us understand what it means. But we have to admit, it's different. There's not another book in the New Testament that's like the book of Revelation. But if you go to the classification of books in the Old Testament, it'll help us understand what it means. And so as we interpret Scripture, it's important for us to classify Scripture. Number six, it's important for us to keep in mind that there is a creation theme in the Bible. The very first story in the Bible, when you open your brand new Bible that you're so proud of getting and you turn to that very first page of Scripture, it is the story of creation. And when you go back to the end of your Bible and look at the book of Revelation, it sounds like a new creation. From cover to cover, God is creating. But I think the important thing that we have to remember as we interpret Scripture is that in the middle of the covers is God's desire for us to be a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God who reconciles to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You become new. That's what God wants for you, is for you to be new. Everything that this is about, everything that we're trying to interpret in the Word of God points to the idea that God is not finished creating. God wants to create in you a new heart. He wants to make you new, so that someday you can be with him in his new creation. And number seven, you didn't think I'd get there, did you? Number seven, clarity of Scripture. I think it's important that we understand that most of the Bible, when we try to interpret it, it's simple. And sometimes we complicate it because we try to make it more complicated than what it is. We need to keep in mind that God, who wrote the Scriptures, who's behind the Scriptures, he has the capability of putting it into a language that we can understand. He is capable of making it something that we can take into our hearts and we can respond to. Two of my favorite passages in all of the Word of God, Psalms 119, and I encourage you to read the whole chapter of Psalms 119. It is the longest chapter in the Bible, but it is worth a read. And everything that is said about the Word of God in Psalms 119 is being said about God. That's the feeling that the writer had toward God, the way he praises his Word. It says in Psalms 119, verses 105 and 130, "Your Word is a lamp for my feet, a light unto my path. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." We don't have to be geniuses. We don't have to be super smart. We don't have to have a lot of degrees to understand what we need to know from God's Word in order to be saved. But at the same time, there is so much in God's Word that you'll never dig it all out. You'll never get to a point, no matter how much you study it, how many years you spend on it, how many biblical languages you can speak, how many degrees you have behind your name, you cannot dig all of God's Word out and understand it. That's the beauty of it. It's simple, and yet it's deep. While there are deep and difficult things to understand in the Bible, I love the passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Apostle Peter, writing the church, tells the church, now this is interesting, he says, like in the writings of Paul, who writes some things that are hard to understand, that's been twisted, he says that. I think, wow, an apostle is saying about another apostle that he writes some deep things that are hard to understand. And I think, wow, I am off the hook. If Peter and Paul had a hard time understanding the Word of God, it's okay that there are some things that I can't understand, that I keep studying and I try to understand, but I have to deal with it, that there is a reality that at the same time it's simple and yet it's very deep and it has some difficult things to understand. But I think it's important to understand, like Paul said to Timothy, we need to understand the things that are simple unto salvation. He says to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it and how from infancy, now this is important, as a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Listen to what Paul is saying to Timothy. When it comes to salvation through Jesus Christ, even a child can understand. Yes, there are difficult things to try to interpret. Yes, there are difficult decisions that we have to make about how to apply certain scriptures of God's Word to our life. But the plan of salvation that God has for us is really simple. And He wants us to grab it and take it to heart. Because all scripture is inspired of God. It's all God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. We should always use the simple truths to interpret the more complicated. Sometimes I study the Bible with people and they want all these answers to these difficult questions, for example, in the book of Revelation. And thankfully, Hubert's teaching the class now, and I can just say, well, go ask Hubert. Don't talk to me about it, you know. But the thing I struggle with in it is they're wanting all these difficult answers, and there's some simple things about being saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ that they have not grabbed. They have not taken to heart. And so I encourage you, start with the simple in your interpretation. Never explain the simple by the complicated, what you don't understand. Use the simple to interpret the more complicated. That makes a whole lot more sense, doesn't it? And you'll be much better off in the end. I'm going to deal next week with principles 8 through 10. And we'll dig in deeper about how to strict rules, if you will, of how to interpret God's Word. But I want to leave you with this in Numbers 1 through 7. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's John 14, 6. Jesus said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, because salvation is found from no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the message that John and Peter were preaching at the temple steps, saying, listen, here's the truth of this matter. There is no one else that will save you but Jesus Christ. If in some way you interpret Scripture to come up with a different way of being saved than Jesus Christ, I will guarantee you, you've misunderstood God's Word. God's Word from the beginning, Genesis 1:1, all the way to the very end of Revelation, God has been telling us, I have a plan. I have a plan to save you. I have a plan to reconcile you to myself. You have been sinful, and your sins have separated you from me, but I have a plan to bring you back to myself. And that plan, ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus Christ. And in all your wrestling, and I want you to be studying the Word of God. I want us to be into it like we've never been into it before. We've made a commitment to come back to the Word of God and recommit ourselves to the Word of God. But in all of that effort to recommit ourselves to the Word of God, if someone comes up with a conclusion that there's another way to be saved than Jesus, you've misinterpreted the Word of God. And this morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you've not been united with Him, become a part of His body, putting His blood upon you for the forgiveness of His sins, immersed into the faith that you believe that Jesus died for you and He was buried and He raised again, being baptized in your own death to your sins, and being buried into Jesus Christ and raised to walk a new life to give Him glory and honor. If you haven't done that, if you haven't experienced that, if you don't understand that, if you're not understanding that in your interpretation of the Bible, please let me help you. I would love to sit down with you. Because if we in some way finish our study of God's Word and we come away with some kind of interpretation of God's Word that we can be saved without Jesus, we're lost. We're lost. And there is no hope to be saved without Jesus. And in today's world, you're not supposed to say stuff like that. You're not supposed to say to people that they're eternally damned. But ladies and gentlemen, that's what the Word of God says. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're lost. And before you worry about trying to get all those complicated things figured out, all those questions that you're going to try to answer before you make a commitment to Christ, start with the simple. Jesus saves. And you need to have a relationship with Him. When we start digging into more ways to interpret the Scripture, it will not change this simple fact. Jesus is the answer. He is the only answer. And if you haven't given your life to Him, do it today. Don't hesitate. Let's stand and sing.
Cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our heart. A song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our heart. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, if I had 1,000 years, Lord, I would still run out of time. If you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, and thank you for the way. So listen to our heart. A song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. Well, we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our heart.
So listen to our heart and hear our spirit sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. Oh, we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. Words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our heart. Words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts. Man, thank you for letting me be here with you this morning. It's been a blessing to worship with you. Hopefully you have listened to the songs that we've sung, and not just sang the notes, but listened to the words and thought about them. Listened to the words that were spoken by David. Maybe apply those. Maybe go out and apply those words. I was teaching a class last Sunday. We're going through what the gospel means and how do we apply to be the gospel to our lives every day in Abilene, where we attend at Hillcrest Church of Christ. And one of the things that was in the lesson said that God spent the first 3 or 4 chapters telling you how good he made it. And then sin came into the world. And he spent every chapter thereafter to the very end trying to tell us that he wants us. And he's done it. And all we've got to do is come to him. And when we do that, we can sing this song, because we know that in the end, all that really matters is that, just as David said, Christ came, he died, he was buried, he arose again. And for eternity, we have the opportunity to be with Jesus, to worship God around his throne, because no matter what, because of the blood of Christ, it is well with our soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul,
with my soul,
it is well, it is well. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sigh, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. Joey, David, thank you for the singing and for the lesson. Good principles, remembering to love God with all our hearts and all our minds. Well, visitors, thank y'all for being here. There's several visitors out there, so if y'all haven't got a chance to meet them, please try to go by and see them and say hi and welcome them back the next time we come. One reminder for next week, I don't think we said this yet. I think the time changes next Saturday night, so if you're waiting for that hour, you'll get it next week. Otherwise, come to Bible class early and be here on time. So anyway, we continue to have several out sick. Like I said, we talked last week, lots of kids been sick. I think we had some of them around, coming around, but lots of people treating cancer. A lot of people been in the hospital. Some people to call out by name that just recently went to the hospital. Bobby Tate has gone to Fort Worth. I think Derek Harris downtown has pneumonia and potentially has had a heart attack. Fred Alvord has gone back to the hospital. Kathy reported that. Peggy Glover is in the local hospital, I believe. And Billy Powell had triple bypass surgery this past week, probably long overdue, but glad he's recovering and looks forward to a good potential after he goes through some rehab and gets some strength back. So remember those. Also want to remind everybody, we announced last week, but Ryan and Casey Reed are down here at the front. One of their girls, like the other one's in family Bible class or the kids' Bible class up here. So come down and greet them, and they're here. Some of y'all know Ryan over at the hospital, and Casey's also been a nurse too. So glad to have y'all here. Also, we want to talk about, due to your generosity, we have some building projects going on. You know, we're working on the auditorium. We're planning, trying to get some color schemes out to the audit to the congregation so y'all can pick the color scheme that we have in here. I believe we have enough funding for that, but we're working on that. But also due to the generosity of the congregation, we're looking forward to start planning a remodel update of the education wing, probably long overdue with some of that work too. So lots of things going on, trying to figure out all of the opportunities we have. Stephenville is continuing to boom. The college is growing. Lots of opportunities to serve in this congregation, in this location. So thank y'all for everything you do, and look for help. There's plenty of things to do. If you got extra time and energy, there are places to go put that to work. We're actually been turning down some things that we could potentially help some individuals with, but if you got some time and energy to drive people or do other things, we'd be glad to help you put you in places to be able to help support that. So anyway, remember to nothing tonight. Go celebrate the fall season with your families and keep greet all the kids coming by at your front doors and do all that sort of stuff tonight. Wednesday night is the bonfire and pizza and Devo at the park, so remember that. So look to see y'all next week and throughout the week. Let's go to our God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for all the opportunities you give us to serve. Thank you for our ministers and their wives. Thank you for the work that they do. Thank you for our teachers. Bless our kids. Bless our youth. Bless all the people and the things that they do, and help them to be a light shining for you. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us with all of our different ministries, whether that's basic needs or celebrate recovery, or other ways that we're reaching out. Please be with us as we work through those things. Be with our families and here and our congregation as we go through the day and through the coming week. Bless them, everybody, and let's have a good week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.